Today you're in for a treat. Al Newell is bringing our message. Al and his wife Wendy have a ministry. They're consultants, and they work with, well, it's a business, but they work with some of literally the most effective gospel-focused ministries on the planet. And we have had the pleasure and honor of having Al walk alongside us as elders for the last few years. And over that time, Al has become a really good friend and a close friend. He's one of these kind of guys where my life has been better since he's been around. And so we need people like that in our lives. And so I'm not trying to fill up his calendar because it's already full, but he is the kind of guy you want to know. So enjoy hearing from him today. We're honored to have him. Al?
Good morning, Christ Point. I wrote that intro for Billy. At times like this, right, that we're going through, when many churches and Christian organizations have compromised on the Word of God, aren't you glad that you're a part of Christ Point? We'll never compromise on the Word of God. And I tell you, our elders are so committed, and I've gotten to know them. I love these men, even Billy. I mean, they're really godly men, and there's such a diversity among them. I love them, and they're fantastic to just know and work with. I was ninth on James' list for replacement. I wasn't even on the practice squad. James said I had a choice. I could either preach on the next passage in Colossians or on something that was really on my heart. And so I looked at that next passage in Colossians, and it was so theologically complex. I said, no, you do that one. I'll work on something else, something much more simple like eschatology. The end times, right? Navigating the end times without losing my mind. Just going to pray one second here. Just pray your word through me in our time. Just pray only that what you want people to hear, that's what they would hear and nothing else. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been feeling a lot of tension lately. Frustrated. Angry. Yeah. A lot of anxiety. Worried. Any of you feel like that? Just kind of. So I'm driving down the street the other day, right on Cox Mill. I live off of Cox Mill, so I'm turning right from Christenberry, if you know where that is. I'm turning right onto Cox Mill, and this teenage driver in front of me, nothing against teenagers, but he just kind of pulled right in front of me. And so I slammed on my brakes, and the guy behind me evidently didn't see my perspective, and so he honked at me, right? So he's like angry at me. So I start going up the hill. I turn right, and I'm going up the hill just a block, and I'm going to turn into my neighborhood. And just before I'm doing that, I see Mr. Big Honker is kind of like chasing me up the street. And so I start to turn in to my area there, and he just slows down enough to really lay on his horn. You know, I mean, really loud. And it wasn't like you hit the horn and he was looking at me like going like that. It wasn't like that at all. Right? I mean, he was angry. And so I was angry. And so, I mean, I slammed on that horn. It's like that. I mean, I was ready to throw down with that guy right in the middle of Cox Mill Boulevard. I was so angry. His USMC cap and Gold's Gym sticker and his bicep that was hanging out the window that was all tatted up and bigger than any muscle on my body, none of that bothered me at all because I was upset. Have I told you I've been feeling a lot of tension lately? How about you? Been feeling a lot of tension? I mean, and I really have no idea why. Could it be? Could it be that our world is falling apart? COVID pandemic, racial tensions, shutdowns, quarantines, millions of jobs lost, billions of dollars lost, conflicting science, kids stuck at home, and a growing hostility toward Christians. Recently, during our annual prayer and fasting day, my wife Wendy and I, and she shared with me a verse that the Lord passage that God had given her, Luke chapter 12. And we're going to look at Luke 12, just different parts of that today. But as she read that passage, these verses leapt off the page. Luke 12, 54 and 56, Jesus said, "When you see a cloud rising in the west and you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Wendy and I and our daughter Becky, we work with the ministry Billy was just saying, we work with leaders from around the globe. You know, for 20 years, they've been saying Jesus is coming soon. I mean, like, Jesus is coming soon. But I want to tell you, after 2020, those same leaders that I'm talking to, I mean, that sentiment has absolutely intensified. Do you know what I'm talking about? Would you agree? And how does that make you feel? I mean, are you excited? I mean, we're all about Jesus. Are you excited? Or does that create stress for you? Now, in seminary, I studied theology. And in my last year, because I did well, I became a teaching assistant. And my job was to focus on eschatology. That is the study of last things. So I had to read and understand all the different perspectives so that I could grade papers and tests and that sort of thing. Now, if you're like my wife, Wendy, she loves all the details of prophecy. I mean, she loves all those details. And bless you if you're like that. But if you're like me, and all of that creates a lot of stress and anxiety for you, I'm going to let you in on a secret. In all the scriptures and authors I've studied, I've read on the end times, it all boils down to one theme, one phrase: be ready. Are you ready? Luke 12, Matthew 24 teaches how to face the days ahead. Luke 12, verse 35 says, "Be dressed in readiness." Verse 40 says, "You also must be ready because your master is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Verse 47 says, "That servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready will be disciplined." It actually says a lot worse than that. And then Matthew 24, 42 says, "Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Verse 44, "Therefore you must also be ready." Parable after parable in the context of the end times, the 10 virgins, many other parables, all have the same thing: be ready. Be ready. Are you ready? Don't sweat the details. I mean, what if this happens? What if that happens? What's going to happen? How soon is it going to happen? Don't sweat the details. I'm simply to live in such a way that I'm ready to die today, or ready for Jesus' return today. Are you ready? Now, I'm an athlete. I used to be an athlete. I'm still kind of an athlete. I watch a lot of sports on TV. I love Sports Illustrations. Frank Reich is the NFL coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Prior to that, he was the offensive coordinator of the 2019 NFL Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. But I wonder if you knew this, that his job before that, he was the president of Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte. As an NFL player, Reich was the backup to Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly. And with Kelly injured, Reich was forced into action before the 1993 playoff game versus the Houston Oilers. And today we know them as the Tennessee Titans, right? At halftime, Reich and the Bills were down 28-3. And if you don't know anything about football, that's a lot. And in the third quarter, Madison and a guy returned it for a touchdown, making the score 35-3. Down, they pulled within 4 points. They eventually tied the game. It's the best playoff comeback. The next day, the meeting, my kid's youth pastor was sitting next to me. This is my son, and he just said, it doesn't matter. He said, hold my illusion. Nor did they. We loved it. A lot of life left. Way too intense, which I'm sure. He shattered my illusion. Crisis, news of disease, disasters. Right? Maybe don't do that. Have more health problems. But if you know what who he is. Or are you ready? Are you ready? No matter your age, are you in my future? That's an illusion. I'm not talking about, my good or bad. But maybe some of your jobs, you're doing better. And then some of your job lost your jobs. Some of you, the horrendous things because of COVID. But I would just say this to us, how quickly things can change. The third illusion is this: I can avoid suffering. If I'm a Christian, I just look, Lord, can I just, this is really what I want to do. I just kind of want to ride off into the sunset as I get older. Can't Wendy and I, we just kind of grow to a nice old age and just kind of ride off into this, taking vacations when we want, hanging around with my kids, grandkids, and no suffering. Can we go, would that be okay? Suffering is a part of the faith, right? Luke 12:11. When they bring you before the synagogues and the authorities, do not worry about what you will say. When? Not if. The scripture says more famines, more diseases, and more disasters. Oh boy, I can't wait. There's a growing hatred toward Christians. But you know what? Right? You know this. We've been warned over and over by the words of Jesus. Suffering is a part. And whether soon, whether that's soon, like in 3 years or 2 years or 20 years, whatever it is, it's going to happen. How do I know? Because Jesus said the scriptures must be fulfilled. The scriptures must be fulfilled. But we're not alone. 1 Peter 5:9, the Apostle Peter says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing the same kinds of suffering are being experienced throughout the world. And look, we in the U.S., we've missed a lot of the struggles that Christians have gone through. You know that, right? And look, I want to stay
right off into the sunset.
But in our desire to isolate, we're rooted in perspective. God used that healing for Wendy and me. Unity is powerful in healing, and we're not re-injured. How blessed it is for brothers to. You love coming to church? I love it. I love hanging out. What I just said. Times in falsehood so established that in love. Where do you get your news source? If you're relying on that for information, I'll guarantee you, no matter where, new to some lies. And I want you to remember one: news media. They're after one thing. It's money and ratings. You know, the evil one would rather have you crippled up, hanging out, watching news. It's going to reinforce your fears, your anger, your ire. It reinforce that, your hatred. Put down your sword. Do you love the truth? Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Are you consumed with the scripture more than you are news? Do you know how law enforcement teach people to identify counterfeit money? They study real money. I have two brothers that are, you know, just great, were great cops, retired cops, that officers that, you know, they just tell me, they just teach us how to recognize real money. Hope you'll hear me on this. God's essence is love, but he also hates evil. The evil one is using a misguided sense of love to infiltrate relationships, families, and churches. And it's the exact strategy exploited with Solomon's wives. We love someone so much, a spouse, a child, a sibling, a friend, that it tempts us to change our view of Scripture to accommodate sin and culture. Brothers and sisters, that's a disastrous path. Don't let misguided love recalibrate your view of Scripture. Beyond protecting us from false teaching, the Word of God is powerful for my mental health. The Word of God is powerful for our mental health. Listen to this, Romans 8:6. The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. One of the best spiritual disciplines I've ever done in my life, and I'm so thrilled I got started, and it's not like I do phenomenal at it, but I do, is memorizing Scripture. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you do that. You memorize Scripture. I see some heads shaking. You know, since COVID, I went back in and increased that practice again. That is so powerful for your mental health. I like to pick a passage, often a psalm that's dear to my soul, one where every verse is just so good, right? And so I've been working on this one, right? Psalm 27. I have to remember the first word, right? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 3, though an army encamp against me, yet my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Do you know how many times when I'm going out my door in the morning just to walk and be with Jesus, I just start reciting that. And how beautiful it is, how peaceful it is, and how much it brings healing to my soul to hear His Word. I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you. Memorize it for yourself, your family, your ministry team. And even if you don't get it word for word, it doesn't matter because it has long impacting results for your mind and your soul. Psalm 119:105 says that God's word is like honey. I love that. It's like honey. Do you want more peace? Eat. Fill up on the Krispy Kreme of the Word of God. Meditate on the peanut butter fudge malt of the Word of God. Swim in the Skittles of the wisdom of God. You get what I'm saying? In His Word, you'll find His presence. Number four, getting ready by leaning more into Jesus' love. You heard that song that Wendy and Henry led us on. The purpose of Christ's point is pointing you to Jesus, but can I point you to Jesus, not just a theological concept, but can I point you to a relatable, personal, loving shepherd? God is love. Jesus is love. He is gracious and compassionate. That English word, compassion, means to suffer with. If there's ever a time to lean into Jesus and the person of Jesus, it's right now, no matter your suffering, whatever's going on, that you can be transparent with Him. Whatever your problem is, whatever your situation is, that you can go and you can just share with Him all your fears, all that. Can I just ask you this? I want you to, in your mind, I want you to think of a time. Think of a time when someone loved you perfectly. They gave you time, no judgment. Their actions, their words were just perfect for your soul. Do you know what I'm talking about? My grandma loved me like that. There was a lot of fighting in my home, so going to grandma's was a respite. When I went to her house, I was the center of attention. She was never in a hurry. She listened to me. She was compassionate, always with a Band-Aid at hand. Grandma would hug me and she would say, "Don't be afraid." She'd make me my favorite foods. That was awesome. I felt so safe. I would always take great naps at grandma's house. And often I never wanted to go back home. Have you ever been loved perfectly? When I experience love like that, fears melt away. Jesus knows how to love you and me like that. So personal. He's present. He's always available to talk, always interested in your pain, listening to every detail. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute and listen to the words of Jesus in a little bit of a paraphrase in his words, mostly these words from Luke 12. Just close your eyes and listen to these. All the things you need, I already know you need them. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what's going to happen, about what you'll eat. The birds don't worry. They don't have retirement accounts or paychecks, and yet I feed them. Don't worry about what you will wear. Look at the flowers. They don't worry. I love animals and flowers, but do you know, I love you way more than flowers and animals. I take care of them, and I know something about you that you don't know. I've counted every hair on your head, and I know every detail about you. I made you just right. Don't be afraid, little lamb. I will never leave you or forsake you, no matter what. You can open your eyes. You know, when I let God love me, I'm able to love others better. Can I encourage you to shed your armor, if you have any of that, the protectiveness, and to be transparent with all your fears and concerns and emotions? Brothers and sisters, I do that. I have to do that every single day when I walk and have my time with the Lord. I go out of my house. It's quiet out. That's what I do. I start with, I'm scared to death about this. I'm worship him a bit, but I'm scared to death about this. Will you help me? Will you give me courage to make it through today? Will you give me courage to make it through tomorrow? Every single day, lean into the beautiful, amazing love of Jesus because he cares. Run to the Father because our heart really does. We need a surgeon, right? Number five, be ready, being faithful and focused on your current assignment. Luke 12, 42. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whose master will find so doing when he comes. Ephesians 2, 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He has assignments for every believer. Occupy yourself with his assignments, with serving. My mental health is so much better when I'm serving others, fulfilling my calling. And I don't know what your calling is, but I know all believers are called to the ministry. Serving together is powerful for mental and spiritual health. In 2001, our country experienced 9/11. Some of you probably weren't born, but right, some of you were. Do you remember where you were during 9/11? Do you remember where you were during 9/11? I do. I was in my basement office. Your children, your ministry, whatever he's called you to do, be invested in that and be faithful to that. So I can guarantee this, when he returns, he finds you doing that, he'll be blessed and you'll be blessed. Don't be distracted on what might be, what could be. Let God dissolve your illusions. Remember, you're not alone. Lean into community. Stand firm on God's word. Experience his love and focus on your current assignment. And I just want to say this in closing. In Nehemiah, there's a really cool passage. Nehemiah 3, and it says to them, next to them, Uzziel, the son of Harhiah, goldsmiths repaired. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. Next to him, Shalem, the son of Halahash, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. He and his daughters. The phrase is next to them, after them, next to him. In chapter 3's 32 verses are used no less than 30 times. Do you know what I see in the future? I see a day at Christ Point in the future. On this property, on our new property, perhaps with the building built, this is what I see maybe. We'll be doing a baptism by this pond with 20 people. This could be many years down the road, I don't know. And there I see the Mervins, the Elliots, the Henrys, the Richardsons, Judy, the Rose, the Gwaltneys, all the Christ Point families, and I missed your family, so now someone's going to be mad at me. We're going to be shoulder to shoulder serving Jesus out there. We're going to be baptizing 20 new believers from ages 9 to 80. And the Krasalkas are there. And Taylor, he looks up at the sky. Shepherd, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.